Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Color Your Life Happy for Monday, January 30th, 2012. I'm your host, Flora Brown, coming to you from Anaheim, California. Today's show is being brought to you by my book, Color Your Life Happy, Create the Success, Abundance, and Inner Joy You Deserve. It's your guide to discovering the life you always wanted. It is available on Amazon in print version, but good news for you who are wanting to get it instantly, it's also available as a Kindle version. You don't even need to own Kindle in order to download it and read it because Amazon makes Kindle available free. You can download the software to your computer or to your smartphone. In a moment, we will begin today's episode, Living Beyond the Speed Limit and Words That Got Me Here. But first, I'd like to welcome all of you, my listeners. Whether you're listening live on the phone, or perhaps you're on the website, or even over there in the chat room, some of you are listening to this show from our archives after the fact, but that's okay because that's the beauty of technology. I'm so honored that you made space in your schedule to join us today. Now, if you enjoy the show, don't keep it a secret. Tell others about it who can benefit. Thanks to modern technology, it is so easy to do that. On my show page at blogtalkradio.com/Flora Brown, right under my photo, you will see several ways to keep up with the show. If you click the follow button, you will get an announcement and a reminder in your email each week of the upcoming episodes. Now, if you're my friend over on Facebook, you'll find out that way as well, not to mention LinkedIn and Twitter. So I encourage you to join me in all of those places so you can keep up with what's going on here. Now, on this radio show, Color Your Life Happy, we talk about ways to create the lasting happiness you deserve in all areas of your life. Each week, I interview guests from many fields, such as self-help, spiritual journeys, relationships, change in adversity, parenting, wealth creation, and career, all of which contribute to lasting happiness. Excuse me. Some shows, however, you get to hear me share some of my thoughts and reflections, and that's what's going to happen today. Today's episode is Living Beyond the Speed Limit and Words That Got Me Here. Now, what do I mean by living beyond the speed limit? Well, if you live anywhere in a metropolitan area, you know that there are speed limits posted on the freeway, on the highways. And I'm at an age now where I am beyond all those posted speed limits. But there are words and phrases and inspirations, poems, scriptures, and various things that have meant a lot to me in my life, that have given me encouragement, that have given me inspiration. And I want to share some of those with you today. The first one, and these are in no particular order, the first one is the 23rd Psalm, the King James Version. The reason this one has been so meaningful to me is that, first of all, it was one of the first ones we had to learn as children when I was growing up in the Baptist church many eons ago. But it's also one that I have gotten comfort from over the years during different times in my life. For example, there was a period in my life when I think it was my fourth child I was expecting, and whenever we would go to the store, the mall, or whatever, I was always wishing for a parking space as close as possible to the door for me and my three young ones. And then, of course, I was also packing the newcomer that hadn't arrived yet. So I started having the kids recite with me the 23rd Psalm, and we were praying for a close parking space. And it became known as the driver's prayer for us, but it certainly was comforting, and the kids knew that when we got to the mall and we were driving around looking for a space, it was time for us to break out with the 23rd Psalm. So I'm going to share that with you for those of you who perhaps don't know what it is or have forgotten. And by the way, there are many versions of it. I just tend to like the King James Version because that's the one I grew up with. But whatever version turns you on, that's what I encourage you to use. Here it goes. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So that particular psalm was meaningful to me during that period of time, and then there was another period of time when that same psalm became meaningful. Many years later, when I was going through financial difficulties, I reached a point where I could no longer afford car insurance, believe it or not. And during that particularly rough time of my life, my husband had died, and I was transitioning from one, closing a business, starting a new career, and so forth. And pennies were tight, so things had to go. And unfortunately, car insurance was one of them. So the 23rd Psalm became my driver's prayer again. And this time I was praying that God would let me make it through this rough period and have no accidents, no incidents that involved the police or my car until I could get to that point where once again I could afford car insurance. And it worked for me. I got through that period, and I'm happy to report, without incident. Another scripture that has been meaningful to me is Psalm 118:24. And this particular scripture always reminds me of a loving and caring friend that I had many years ago during the time when my children were young and I was attending graduate school. One of my good friends from my church, he was also a fellow Sunday school teacher. We used to teach Sunday school together. And also he worked for an insurance company, and he became my insurance man as well. Periodically, he would call me on the phone to check on me to see how I was doing. And I would sometimes answer that phone in a foul mood. I had retired from teaching to return to school full-time at that time, and my husband and I had decided that this was a good time to go ahead and have our third child. And there were days when things would be clipping along just fine, and then there were other days when things would happen, like a broken water heater or a leaking fuel pump that took a big bite out of our already strained budget and altered my mood. So when my friend would call to see how I was doing, there were times when I would growl at him and tell him that about whatever the latest calamity was. Well, fortunately for me, he never let me wallow in the pity party that I was trying to host. Without breaking stride, he always had me to open my Bible to a certain verse. And it varied sometimes from different verses based on the situation and how intense my growling was. But he would also insist that I read that scripture out loud to him, and it always helped. He has passed away many years ago, but I still remember one of the scriptures, which is Psalm 118:24, that when I feel stressed, it helps me snap back. And it's very short, but it's very powerful. And it goes like this. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. There is another time when the same scripture has had meaning for me. Back in 2005, my second sister died from MS. And when she died, I remember the transformation from her being able to walk about and live her life on a daily basis to the years where her body began to betray her, give up on her, and shrivel. After she died, I thought one day as I was getting out of bed about how fortunate I was to still be able to stand up and walk and be physically able to do the things I wanted to do in my life. And it occurred to me that many times we take these things for granted. So I vowed that I was never going to take for granted again the ability to even stand on my feet first thing in the morning. So each morning when my feet hit the floor, that's the time and that's my signal to say, this is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And I just never, ever want to take for granted that again, that physical ability again. So I pass this on to you, this particular verse, to repeat any time that the world threatens to overtake you, and it will. And perhaps it will lighten your load and lift your mood, because there are many things, of course, out there that you can't change, but you certainly can thank the Lord and rejoice in the day and be glad in it for what is in that day for you. Another person, poet, who's had a great influence on me has been Langston Hughes. Langston Hughes was a poet, a novelist, and a playwright, and he lived from 1902 to 1967. He's notable in many ways. One instance, he's notable for being the leader, or one of the leaders, of the Harlem Renaissance, which was a cultural movement that spanned the 1920s through the 30s. And what was significant about this period of time is that many African-American literary geniuses were coming forward and were sharing their stories, their poems together. They would get together and they would have these sessions, and much of it was included the blues and jazz influence that was going on in Harlem, New York, during that time. So Langston Hughes is very significant in that regard, but he's also significant in that he's one of the first, if not the first, African-Americans to make a living from his writing and to be able to support himself over the years. And he started writing when he was very young. His very first poem was written when he was 17, or to our knowledge, was written when he was 17, or at least it was published then. And it's called The Negro Speaks of Rivers. It was first published in a publication called The Crisis in June 1921. And we're fortunate enough that Hughes got an opportunity to share with the world his inspiration for writing that poem. And he says that he was on a train on his way to visit his father in Mexico. And as the train passed the Mississippi River, he said he began to think about the many rivers that have played a part in the life of blacks, especially the Mississippi River, because that was the river where all along the riverfront African Americans were sold as slaves during slavery. And he said he also remembered reading that Abraham Lincoln went along that same river many years before and saw the atrocities that were going on with slaves being sold. And they were being sold not only like cattle, but families were being split and separated, and many times the parents never saw their children again and vice versa. Lincoln never forgot that sight, and it made a huge difference in the strides that he made following that. So Hughes saw these things going on and thought about these things that day, and he said he turned over the letter that he had in his hand from his father, and he began to write on the back of it, thinking about the impact that rivers have made throughout the lives of African Americans, not only here in America, but throughout history. So he wrote, "The Negro Speaks of Rivers," and here it is. "I've known rivers. I've known rivers ancient as the world and older than the flow of human blood in human veins. My soul has grown deep like the rivers. I bathed in the Euphrates when dawns were young. I built my hut near the Congo and it lulled me to sleep. I looked upon the Nile and raised the pyramids above it. I heard the singing of the Mississippi when Abe Lincoln went down to New Orleans and I have seen its muddy bosom turn all golden in the sunset. I've known rivers, ancient, dusky rivers. My soul has grown deep, like the rivers. That's one that's always been meaningful to me. Every time I hear Negro spiritual about the river, I always think about the part that rivers have played in our lives and also in our escape to freedom during the Underground Railroad days. Okay, the next poem I'd like to share with you is also by Langston Hughes, and it is called Mother to Son. This was published in 1922, and it is one of his most popular ones as well, and I'd like to share it with you. This poem is from the viewpoint of a mother sharing some words of inspiration and courage to her son when he was perhaps getting discouraged by things that were going on in life. And, of course, it could be from anyone, words of encouragement to someone who is perhaps suffering despair, getting beaten down by the world, and perhaps even thinking of giving up. Here it goes. Well, son, I'll tell you. Life for me ain't been no crystal stair. It's had tacks in it and splinters and boards torn up and places with no carpet on the floor. Bare. But all the time I've been a-climbing on and reaching landings and turning corners and sometimes going in the dark where there ain't been no light. So, boy, don't you turn back. Don't you sit down on the steps because you find it's kind of hard. Don't you fall now, for I's still going, honey. I's still climbing. And life for me ain't been no crystal stair. Always love that poem. The next one I'd like to share with you is, again, one that perhaps you've heard that's popular, called The Final Analysis. Now, this particular poem, I don't know that you want to call it a poem, but it's words of encouragement. Now, this has often been attributed to Mother Teresa, but it was actually written by Kent Keith, when he was 19. He was the first one to articulate these 10 principles when he was a student at Harvard in the 60s. And since then, unbeknownst to him, these words were quoted, circulated, and appropriated by countless people around the world and back again. And they even served as a source of inspiration for Mother Teresa, which is probably part of why they became so popular. And it said that she posted these commandments on her wall in one of her orphanages. Now, you can learn about Kent's commandments, the philosophies behind them, and the stories that bring them to light in his book, The Paradoxical Commandments, which you can get over on Amazon. Right now, I want to read to you the final analysis. People are often unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are successful, you will win some false friends and some true enemies. Succeed anyway. If you are honest and frank, people may cheat you. Be honest anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, they may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today, people will often forget tomorrow. Do good anyway. Give the world the best you have, and it may never be enough. Give the world the best you've got anyway. You see, in the final analysis, it is between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway. Always found that very beautiful and very encouraging, and I hope you did too. I want to share one more thing before we close, and that is the afterword that I put at the end of my book, Color Your Life Happy. And you can get that book again in Kindle version for a very affordable price, just dash on over to Amazon.com. And don't forget that even if you don't own a Kindle, you can still use the Kindle software. It's available free to download to your computer or your smartphone. So be sure to go over there. These are the words I shared at the end of my book, and especially I'm sharing these because there's a quote from George Bernard Shaw which is meaningful to me. Here's what I said. A book is more than ink and paper. The words I've shared are full of life and energy here for you to accept and act upon. If you accept them, you will get the inspiration, direction, and ideas you need to create happiness in your life, however you define it. When a 65-year-old friend of mine was found dead on her kitchen floor, I thought it was wonderful that she had died in action doing one of the things she loved, cooking. I imagined that I would like to die that way, too, doing something I love. Then again, after giving it more consideration, I thought, well, maybe the best way to die is peacefully asleep in your own bed. Whatever way I go, I don't want to die with my song inside me, my story untold, my trips untraveled, my love unshared, my dreams unrealized, my purpose unfulfilled. I hope you don't either. George Bernard Shaw said it well, and here's what he said. This is the true joy in life, being used for a purpose recognized by yourself as a mighty one. Being a force of nature instead of a feverish, selfish little clod of ailments and grievances, complaining that the world will not devote itself to making you happy. I am of the opinion that my life belongs to the whole community. And as long as I live it, it is my privilege to do for it whatever I can. I want to be thoroughly used up when I die. For the harder I work, the more I live. I rejoice in life for its own sake. Life is no brief candle to me. It's a sort of splendid torch, which I've got to hold up for the moment, and I want to make it burn as brightly as possible before handing it on to future generations. End of quote. Now, your life may seem too tangled ever to straighten out again, but you can begin by wrapping your mind around these two concepts. You can be as happy as you want to be, and happiness is within you waiting to be discovered. Now, if you have trouble believing this, you're not alone. We find it so much easier and socially acceptable to believe the opposite. I don't know why, but we do. But until you grasp these two concepts, you will continue to see life as a game where the rules are ever-changing, a battle with a winner and a loser, or a puzzle where the pieces never fit. None of these is true. Life is a journey. To experience happiness on your journey, you must embrace life now. If you can't be happy now, you can't be happy later either. Someday, the word someday is our favorite word, is not a day on the calendar. There is only today, this day. Being happy is not the absence of sadness, nor does it depend on circumstances. Problems, adversity, and change will always be with us. You cannot wait until the world is at peace, or the economy is booming, or every hungry person is fed. As a matter of fact, the best way to help solve some of the world's problems is to be happy. In this way, you are able to contribute in some way to the solution. Happiness is a state of mind that enables you to reach within your reservoir of strength, joy, love, and peace to find purpose and meaning. Carrying out your purpose will help you and it will help others. Being grateful will give meaning to your life and to the lives of those you help. Another quote that's my favorite is this Chinese proverb, "A bit of fragrance always clings to the hand that gives you roses." I challenge you to suspend your skepticism, to open your mind to the possibility of happiness, and incorporate some of the ideas I've shared here into your own life. Commit to balancing your work and your family life, finding your spiritual path, insisting on a job you love and not just one you settle for, releasing your leader within you, and leaving a worthy legacy behind. Part of my life's purpose is to share this gift with you. Your gift to yourself and the world is to color your life happy. How about you start now? Thank you for tuning in today with me. I invite you to join me again next Monday, February 6th at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for another informative, exciting, inspiring show. This is Flora Brown. I'm coming to you from Anaheim, California. And as always, I ask you, have a blessed week and remember to color your life happy.